All right, good morning. It is 9 a.m. on May 12th, 2026. We are in the Sakakawea Room at the State Capitol in Bismarck, North Dakota. This is the date and location scheduled for an informal conference in Public Service Commission case number RC-25-270. My office has designated this matter as OAH file number 2026-0129. This conference is being held pursuant to a notice of conference and notice of informal conference date change, both issued on April 14, 2026, and a notice of informal conference room change issued on April 28, 2026 by the Public Service Commission. My name is Hope Hogan, and I've been designated as the hearing officer for today's conference and been asked to conduct this conference and issue a recommended decision. In a minute, I'll be sending around an attendance sheet. I'd ask that everybody sign that so that there's a record of all who attended. And also, I'd ask everybody to check your phones to make sure they're either turned off or silenced. This is an informal conference requested under North Dakota Century Code Section 38-14.1-19. On October 3rd, 2025, the PSC received from Coyote Creek Mining Company, LLC, an application for revision number 14 to the surface mining permit NACC-1302. Revision number 14 changes the post-mine topography and portions of sections 23, 24, 25, 26, and 36 of Township 143 North, Range 89 West, Section 31, Township 143 North, Range 88 West, and Section 6, Township 142 North, Range 88 West. Revision 14 updates the introductory information, pre-mining land use, general operations, surface water management, post-mining land use plans and topography, revegetation procedures, establishment and management, and vegetation assessment and success standards section of the permit. Casey and Julie Voigt filed comments and requested this informal conference on March 30th, 2026. The concerns raised by Mr. and Ms. Voigt were generally described as section 4.3.1, lack of good faith consultation on reference areas, sections 1.2.8 and 4.1.1, no binding easement for road replacement, and compaction testing, productivity, and reclamation. Now I'm going to ask the parties to make their appearance and introductories for the record, and I'll start with you, Mr. Broughton, if you want to introduce yourself and your clients.
Derek Broughton, Broughton Law Firm, on behalf of Casey and Julie Voigt, have Casey and Julie here with me, as well as my litigation manager, Desiree Zast.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mann. If you want to make your introduction for the record and introduce who you have with you today.
Yeah, thank you, Your Honor. Wade Mann with Crawley Fleck, appearing on behalf of Coyote Creek Mining Company. With me at table is Jeremy Eckroth, the environmental manager at the mine.
Thank you. And Mr. Martins, if you want to make your introduction for the record and introduce staff attending with you today.
Yes, good morning, Your Honor. Chris Martins, General Counsel for North Dakota Public Service Commission. I'll just have the staff, if you just introduce yourself, gentlemen.
Jonathan Emmer, the Director of Reclamation.
Monty Johnson, Assistant Director, Reclamation Division.
Warren Swenson, Environmental Scientist.
Brand Myron, Environmental Engineer.
Guy Welch, Environmental Scientist.
All right, thank you. I intend the conference to proceed as follows. We will start with the Voigt's presentation, followed by Coyote Creek, and then the PSC. Presenters will make statements, will not be sworn in. Others may ask the presenter questions, but I will limit any aggressive cross-examination. I'll allow parties to make a record of objections, but I do not intend to strictly enforce the rules of evidence and intend a broad scope of allowable information. I may also consider objections in assigning weight to the offered information. The burden is on the voids to raise concerns that may be addressed by Coyote Creek. So I don't know if the we should probably chat about exhibits first, and I'll maybe start with you, Mr. Broughton. Do you have exhibits or documents you want to introduce today?
Possibly, Your Honor, but I guess if we could, I would take a step back, and our intent is not to put on a formal presentation, but rather to have a conversation. And so we raised the three issues you mentioned and one other issue, which is just the timing of the revision applications and the technical review process. We'd like to understand a little bit more. And with respect to these four areas, our goal is just to gain a better understanding of, I guess what I would say is how the staff considers and what they think about some of these issues, and ask some questions about how we could address the void's concerns, largely as expressed in the comments. And so to the extent we have exhibits, I think it would just be, displaying, for example, something that was attached to the comments for reference. So if we're talking about where are the clay soils that are referenced in one of the technical review letters, there's a map that shows where those are in section 36, for example. So to the extent it's helpful for us to have the discussion to put exhibits like that up, we do have hard copies of the comments and exhibits in the technical review letters. But our goal would be to sort of informally be able to ask some of the staff just some questions about the concerns we have and where this is at in the process of the revision, and ask questions about how it might be addressed. And certainly we'd love to hear from the mine, but I think it's sort of what I would say is, to the extent the mine wants to comment, we'd love to hear it. If they don't want to comment, I understand. But that would be our request, is, as part of our presentation, rather than simply expressing what we've already expressed in the comments, to just be able to ask some questions in each of these areas of the staff. And certainly if Mr. Martin says he doesn't want staff answering a question, that's just fine. But our goal would be to just try and have a conversation about it and gain a better understanding of whether the staff might be able to address some of these concerns in this process.
All right. Maybe I'll start with you, Mr. Mann. Series of questions. If you have any exhibits you want to present, if you plan to present any comments regarding the Voight's comment letter. And I believe in other informal conferences we've had with the parties, the concern has been not really understanding what the concerns were. So I don't know if that needs to be addressed first.
So, Your Honor, I guess with respect to exhibits, do not anticipate any. And then with respect to understanding the issues, to the extent it's what is laid out, in the comments, those three areas, I guess I'm not quite certain, but we'll probably find out the timing of the revision. I'm sure they'll address that. But with respect to the other three issues, I think I understand them. As far as comments on them, I think these are issues that have been addressed before. So to the extent that, it's trying to do some sort of collateral attack on the previous order, for example, like the reference areas and the compaction were both addressed in depth and in detail in the last case, last order on the renewal on the revision 13. There's extensive information in the order relating to those topics. So, that would be my comments with respect to, to those two areas on the, and I guess the other one, the easement, that was, the road issues were addressed in that case too. I don't entirely understand the issue there. I mean, the, you know, an easement was signed. Apparently, maybe the Voits haven't been paid yet, but I don't, it's not really a mine issue. It appears to be a county issue, and I believe Mr. Voit is on the commission. So, I don't really understand, I guess, that that issue. But otherwise, in as far as sort of the procedure with Mr. Brotner, the Voits asking questions of staff, the mine doesn't object to that, but again, that's, I guess, up to the mine and Mr. Martins. So that's okay. Really all I have at this point.
Okay. And I'll turn to you, Mr. Martins.
Yes, Your Honor. We have several exhibits prepared if they need to be presented. Our interest here, obviously, this is an informal conference. You know, the underlying purpose of that is try to resolve issues. But for us, you know, I do want to reiterate, this is, you know, our goal is a factual record for the purposes of the revision at issue. So, I mean, I think our exhibits would probably be focused on that more than anything. But I guess we'll just present those as needed. And that really depends on, I guess, where this goes, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, I'm not exactly sure how you envision this working, Mr. Broughton. You said you have questions for staff, but I don't know if you've got, like, obviously we have multiple staff people here. It's probably going to depend, you know, what issue you want to address. And Mr. Martins, are you willing to have staff?
I mean, I would prefer we, you know, constrain this to the revision at issue, but I guess I, you know, I mean, we're a government agency. I mean, we're not exactly, as long as it's not something that's relitigating a past order or something like that, as long as we're not trying to circumvent some other process, that's my only concerns. But I mean, we're a government agency. We're here to kind of answer questions anyway. So we'll just see where that goes. If I have an issue, I'll raise it and we can go from there.
Okay. So Mr. Broughton.
Yeah, I I'll just tell you what's in my outline. And like I said, I think Judge Hogan, what you described is really what the issues are that we'd like to discuss. You know, the first one though, I'll ask about is the timing of the revision applications and the public notices. And part of this is a conversation that Mr. Mann and I had about how the parties can get together before an informal conference and the public comment process is triggered so that we could meet informally. And I know this is an informal conference, but we're all wearing suits and it's quite formal. And so genuinely it's, it's to get a better understanding of that process so that we can try to facilitate meetings between the mine and the Voits prior to the public comment period, where all of these sort of tight windows of 30 days are triggered and you're sort of on this track where you're just either going down the road or, from our view, waiving all your rights. The other issues are the reference areas and the compaction testing, productivity and reclamation, and the easement for road replacement. And happy to explain that further to everybody. And I do think that is one where, you know, it's primarily some comments and a request, but I would probably direct some of those comments to Mr. Martins because it is a legal issue. And so I don't foresee really asking staff about that one, more so just explaining the concern we have and how it might affect the Voits, because of what Mr. Mann accurately describes is primarily an issue, you know, with the easement itself from the county, but what the PSC does here could have implications for that too, which is where that comes from. So if I could, I can maybe just start with the timing of the revision. And I am going to have Mr. Voit, you know, present a little bit at some point, and specifically when we get to the compaction testing, productivity and reclamation. Since 2014, when this mine started, really the primary concern the Voits have always had is reclamation of their land. And so Mr. Voit wants to walk through some of his concerns and explain some of those, and we'll do that at that time. And other than that, I think, you know, some of this I may ask Mr. Voit to chime in if helpful at times. For example, when we're talking about the reference areas, there were times where he was out there with a team of experts and the mine, and I obviously wasn't there, and there were discussions there, so I might ask him to chime in and explain what was discussed there. So the first issue is the timing of the revision and renewal applications.
Well, before you ask any questions, Mr. Martins, do you have somebody that can maybe generally address that or provide information on timing process?
Yes, Your Honor, that would be Mr. Elmer here.
Okay.
Commission.
Go ahead, Mr. Elmer.
Well, I guess what specific questions do you have as far as timing goes?
So if you don't mind, I'll give a quick explanation for context and then ask the question. So in the process, there's at some point a public notice that's published in the newspaper. In this case, it was published in the Hazen Star. Coincidentally, the Voits get the Beulah Beacon. Certainly, they can start getting both newspapers. But that's, you know, generally the first notice they have that there's a revision application, if they catch it, which they didn't. And otherwise, later on in the process, there's a specific personal notice that's sent to the Voits. And the concern is that when they receive that personal notice, it triggers this process. And there isn't really time for them to sit down either with staff or with the mine and try to work things out, walk through things on a more informal basis. But when we look at, for example, the technical review letters, you know, the first technical review letter was sent out November 14th, 2025. And in leading up to this, I had a conversation with Mr. Mann where I asked, you know, could the Voits and the mine just get together? I also asked him, could the lawyers not go to this informal conference? And I understand, you know, the mine, again, we call it an informal conference, but we're all in suits and it is somewhat formal. And so the mine wanted to have legal representation. But what we would like is to figure out a way that before this process is triggered, that we could have notice of what is in the revision, what's happening. Is there a conversation we can have? And we'll get into some of that, for example, with reference areas, but, you know, we'd still like to have a conversation with the mine about what might be another appropriate reference area and can we work on finding that with the mine. And so what I'm wondering is, finally getting to my question, so it seems that the PSC, for example, sent a letter back in November 2025. So the PSC and the mine are aware that, you know, there's a revision application pending and coming. Is there a process or a way that we could get notice of a revision application earlier in that process, you know, before the formal notice requirements are issued? At least with respect to revisions that include the Voit property.
I guess generally we do not send like the notice of receipt of an application or the public notice is not published in the newspaper until we deem a significant revision administratively complete. Because if we, you know, sent notice out and it was not administratively complete, it would cause a lot more confusion because it could be missing information. There could be conflicting information. So we do that initial completeness review, just making sure everything is there. And then at that time is when we send out the notice of receipt to the affected landowners, and then it's published in the newspaper. So if we were to inform landowners some way prior to that, I could see that causing more confusion because some information may be conflicting. It may not be within the revision application. And sometimes, you know, you have one or two completeness review letters, or you have, you know, multiple rounds of reviews and responses before it's published.
Is there a difference between, so like the technical review letters, There was one in November 2025, but I think there was a recent one like April 30th. Are those still administrative completeness letters, or is there a difference at some point where they're a different type of review letter?
So once we deem an application administratively complete, that is when we tell the mine, you can publish it in the newspaper, and then we send out the notice of receipt to the affected landowners. And then at that time, we start our technical review. So a completeness review is making sure all the information in the permit that is needed to do a technical review is there and it's accurate. So at that point, then we start our technical review.
So I'll direct this question to Mr. Martins and you can decide if anyone can answer, but would it be possible for the PSC to give a personal notice to us after the completeness review, but at the time you authorize the application to be published?
And I'm pausing to thank, because one, obviously, forgive me, the new guy, I'm still picking up on some of the administrative processes. So what I'm hearing is, I mean, one, obviously the commission is going to be leery about, you know, getting into the system of treating different affected landowners with different protocols. So, I mean, I will caution that that's probably not something the commission's going to be interested in, but I mean, I'm understanding the point you're trying to make. And I guess I'm going to be looking at Jonathan here, and maybe this is a later conversation he and I can have regarding like, okay, I'll respond with the question. Is there an area in our current rules that you see a interpretation that we're being overly strict on, or do you see room in our current regulatory framework where you think that could fit into where something like that? I mean, I would be interested in hearing that. And if that's a different conversation between us, I understand. I don't want to put you on the spot. I guess my initial thought is I don't want to get into a system of treating different landowners with different protocols. You know, we have the scheduling criteria, and I'll defer to Jonathan. Do you have anything to add based on what Mr. Broughton just asked there?
Yeah, as far as the timing, I mean, once we tell the mine that, okay, the application is complete and you can publish it in the newspaper, then they work with the newspapers to schedule publication dates. So once they receive those dates, they give those to us. So then we look at the very last day of publication and add 30 days to it, because that is the last day you can request an informal conference. So until we know the dates of publication in the newspaper, we cannot send out our notice of receipt to the affected landowners, because that notice will always say the last day you could request an informal conference.
And I guess I'm going to ask a question of my own staff here, but once a informal is requested, what are our regulatory requirements as far as it has to be scheduled within 30 days, correct?
Yeah, we don't have to hold it within 30 days, but it has to be scheduled within 30 days. But in no event can it be scheduled within the informal conference comment period of a revision application.
Can't be sooner, basically. So does anything stop us from, say, somebody wants to request an informal conference, pushing it out, if they agree to it, so many days to allow a period, I guess, of informal discussion?
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be an issue.
So Wade, I'll just toss this out, and you don't have to respond right now, but another thing I'm thinking is, you know, it might be a request to the mine to give us notice if once there's a complete application. And I'll just be candid. I mean, the Voits don't get the Hazen paper, they get the Beulah paper, so they didn't see this one, and obviously they can sign up for both papers. But in you know, back to your question, Mr. Martins, I understand the concern about treating landowners differently. One thing I would say, not to argue, but I think that over the years, there's been a recognition that this mine and this landowner are a unique situation in North Dakota coal mining, because you have essentially a mine and a ranch that are coextensive, and that's just not the situation with other mines. The other thing I was going to suggest, and I hesitate to do it because I know for staff at these agencies, it can be very annoying. But I mean, one other idea I've had is just once a month doing a record request for public records. And if we could find a way with you to narrow that, because I don't want to, for example, say once a month, give me all correspondence between, you know, mine and the PSC. But if we could say, you know, we agree that when I ask for review letters or revision applications, I mean this, and then we just have a timer set to request that once a month. That puts the onus back on us, but, you know, that is a mechanism, sort of to your question. I think that's one mechanism. I also think that the PSC has the authority to include in an order for this permit that personal notice go to the voids when public notice is published. That doesn't address your comment, which I understand, about treating landowners differently. And I think I'm just trying to say that it might make sense here to treat this landowner differently, just given the unique nature of this landowner and the mine.
So first, again, forgive me for maybe if I misunderstand or am unaware of some of the procedural history between, or the history between of this mine and this landowner and our commission. So I'm absolutely willing to, you know, think creatively and you can always reach out to me with these ideas too on how to do that. Do they have the mean to like check our docket is online, so all new published, you know, cases are there. I don't know if that's another solution. It's a possibility to just get on and also just check the docket of what's being filed as well.
So at the time revision application is deemed complete, is that the point at which it's docketed publicly on the website?
Generally, a case number is assigned right away when we receive a significant revision. Sometimes when we're going through our initial review, or, you know, maybe even a technical review, we see something in there that triggers us to say, hey, no, this revision is actually significant. It will require public notice. So then at that time, we would assign a case number for that application. And then it would, you know, all the files would be docketed on our website.
So is there... Is there a possibility that there's a revision that goes through that doesn't get docketed?
If it's insignificant, there are no public notice requirements.
Okay. That just like cleaning up language or something that doesn't actually make a change to the permit?
Well, it can still make a change, but we have kind of a list of certain things that definitely would trigger a significant revision. So if you're adding land, mining in a new area outside of the current permit term, changing the post-mine topography by a certain amount, changing certain land uses, those types of things would trigger the revision to become significant.
Yeah. And at any point that it becomes significant, at that point, assuming it's complete, then it would get docketed?
Yeah, I mean, the files would be docketed during the completeness review period. So once we deem the revision significant, we would assign a case number, and then you would docket the application, cover letters, and all of the correspondence.
So, Wade, I've got one for you, and I think this is an easy one, but when the mine files, or I mean, I guess this might be for you too, Jonathan, but when the mine files a revision, is the filer or the entity doing that always going to appear exactly the same?
Say it again.
Yeah, let me explain. When you go onto the PSC website to search for dockets, what I've noticed is, you know, you have to get the name of the party exact in order to make sure you're pulling up all the dockets associated with that party. when Coyote Creek Mine files, does it ever file under different names, or does it use North American, or does it always use the exact same name when it gets filed?
I probably need to talk to Jeremy. I'm assuming it's always under Coyote Creek.
Yeah, mining. It would be under Coyote Creek, and I'm always the one that files it, so I don't know how it would show as Coyote Creek Mine or Coyote Creek Mining Company or...
Yeah, or it would be the same. Each mine is assigned like an entity ID number. And so that always correlates with Coyote Creek Mine, maybe 702, something like that. That's always associated with Coyote Creek Mine.
So I guess, Mr. Mann, I'll understand if you're not prepared to answer this now, but I think one of our requests would be, I understand the concerns the commission has with processes, but back to the conversation you and I had, you know, I think it would be productive when there is a revision application to have conversations first. And although I recognize that the relationship between the Voits and the mine has been adversarial for many years, at the same time, part of the issue we run into with this process is that we get a notice and it triggers this public comment period. And within that public comment period, we have to request an informal conference. And if we don't do that, we're done. We waive all of our rights related to it. And similarly, once we have an informal conference, the next step is a formal hearing. And in a lot of times, we get stuck going down this road because the first time we had to review and look at it, we had 30 days. And as everybody knows, these revisions are massive. Just because the permit itself is massive, and just taking the time to go through all of those revisions and identify issues of concern is significant. And by the time we do that, we're putting together comments, and then here we are. So I think, you know, our question to the mine is, you know, aside from what we do with the PSC, could the mine at the point that it submits or that an application gets docketed, just send a notice with the docket number to the Voits?
Yeah, and I'll discuss that with, I mean, I can't answer that for them. Are you talking about once it's deemed complete by the, substantially complete by the, by reclamation staff at that point?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so...
So is it just, if I'm hearing correctly, kind of a timing situation to kind of execute this entire process and try to come to a conclusion without having to maybe invoke the full process is what I'm hearing. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah. And so what I'll say candidly is the mine has had complaints about, you know, we've come to an informal conference before and said, we just want to talk about this. And the mine says, well, you can talk to us anytime. And that's fair, but at the same time, we can't talk to them about things we don't know about. And a lot of times, the first time we know about an extensive revision is when we're getting a notice in the mail saying, hey, look, there's a revision. And that just, this is a really compact process where, as the attorney for the Voits, I'm just put in this position where it's like, well, start reviewing that revision, start putting comments together, request the informal, get ready for the informal. And we're just on this track where, if we could back up from there and start by just having some meetings, I recognize this has been adversarial, but at the same time, you know, we've solved problems and these guys out in the field and Mr. Voit have solved a lot of problems that don't get discussed here. And so it does happen. And I think that we certainly don't lose anything by meeting and talking about these concerns prior to being stuck into this somewhat formal process.
And Jonathan, I know you and I were just talking about this, but In a request for an informal conference, does anything prevent the requester from stating that they would like a informal conference not to be scheduled prior to a certain date?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, we just have 30 days to schedule the informal conference. You know, formal hearing, we have 30 days to hold it, but informal, we have 30 days to schedule it.
So I recall in the past, and I don't know if this referred to the formal or to the informal, but I thought that, you know, we had in the past agreed that with respect to one or the other, if the parties agreed to not do it within 30 days, then we would. But if one of the parties said, no, we want it within 30 days, then it was always scheduled within 30 days. And again, I just don't know, does that apply to just the formal or is that the informal as well?
I would have to go back and look, but I believe that would apply to the formal hearing, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah. I mean, the only other thing I'd say about that is obviously I'm assuming, I guess I'll ask it this way, and it's probably more for Jonathan again. What's the furthest out, though, we would feel comfortable scheduling that? Just, I mean, we have to balance a situation of not unreasonably holding up an application as well. So
it's hard to say, but if the revision is associated with a renewal application, there would be essentially no time to push the dates out. Because, you know, the timeline to file a renewal and revision application, plus all the timing of the completeness reviews, hold the informal conference, and issue the order, you know, you actually run into a timing deficit for that 120-day review period.
That might be what I'm thinking about, too, because I think the last revision was combined with a renewal, so I think that might have been part of the time crunch there. Wade, again, I'm asking you a question, so if you're not ready to answer, that's totally fair. But, you know, we had the discussion about once there's been a request for an informal conference, that makes things formal. But if we, for example, submitted comments and said we'd like an informal, but can we kick that out 60 days or something, would the mine be open to having meetings informally in that interim?
I mean, again, I would need to communicate with mine, and, you know, obviously that's their decision. I think they're always open to, you know, any opportunity where, you know, conversations can be had. Like you've acknowledged, you know, like Mr. Voigt and, you know, some of the mine staff have communicated in the field and been able to work some things out. And to the extent that, you know, that's a possibility. And, you know, like you said, even though this is informal, we've got a huge group here in the Capitol, to the extent we can avoid these situations, I think they're going to be open to pursuing something, you know, that would work for both sides. I mean, that being said, I mean, they probably have concerns about not, you know, delaying any, you know, any revisions or anything like that, or anything that could impact their permit or their mining operations. But I will have that conversation with them, and I just can't answer that question for them.
I think that I appreciate everyone that kind of covers the questions we had, and we'll certainly, you know, we'll follow up. I'll just also be candid that I've literally had an intern work on trying to develop a scraper that would go and check the PSC dockets for certain things. And this is partly just my practice, but you know, it's certainly understandable to say, you know, just check the PSC docket. But with all of my clients, I could be doing that with, you know, dozens of clients. And even now I have an assistant who just looks at what gets put on the main page, and almost always everything affects at least one of my clients. And so in the context of my entire practice, it gets to be overwhelming, but it's certainly a fair point to make with respect to this issue. And I think that's something we'll continue working on, and that might be a way that we can get that earlier notice. The other thing I'll reach out to Mr. Martins on is, you know, it's almost easier for me to have an assistant shoot out a quick letter once a month versus go searching dockets. And I wouldn't want that to be something that's burdensome on the commission, but if it could be something that's really targeted that just says, you know, any applications for revision from this mine with a specific number on it, just so that it's just literally one thing that we're asking about. That might be a way to address it. And again, Wade, you know, we don't need an answer today, but, you know, the other way is if the mine is at the point where it's putting it in the newspaper, if it could just send that over to the Voights, that would also be really helpful just to get a conversation started at that point. So I think with that, I'll move on to the first substantive issue we wanted to address, which is the consultation on the reference areas. And I'll start, you know, sort of by responding to Mr. Mann's comments about this having been covered. We don't agree with that because in the prior order, essentially it said the mine should continue to consult with the Voights. One of the things we took issue with up front was that, as we said in the comments, you know, this all goes all the way back to 2015 when we had the first public formal conference or formal hearing on the original permit. And as you can see from those documents that we attached to the comments, it was very much the case in the understanding, not just that we had, but that others, even with the commission, had, that we were going to be involved in selecting these specific reference areas. And in the way it turned out, we weren't. The mine had selected reference areas, and after it selected them, it asked the Voights, what do you think about this? And it asked that in the context of one of these comment and informal conference proceedings when we raised that issue. And in there were discussions that followed. The discussions that followed were included meetings in the field to talk about some of the reference areas. Mr. Voight at one point had some retired professionals from the NRCS accompany him, and they raised some issues. Correct me if I'm wrong, Casey, but I think the issues they raised were with the shallow loamy soil reference area specifically. And I think that the concerns they expressed were, I guess, accepted, or at least agreed with in some way by both the mine and the PSC staff. But nothing really happened after that. And in the next sort of information the Voights had after that process was this revision application. And this revision application simply said, you know, there was disagreement from the Voights experts on this specific reference area, so we're just dropping it. And that's not our understanding of how the consultation should work. We thought that there would be further discussions in finding another reference area. I also, however, in speaking directly for the Voights here, not just me saying this, but one of the recent technical review letters, the most recent, actually, April 30th, the staff had also commented on this. And what I'll say is that we agree with the staff, specifically, you know, having a reference area for the clay soils seems to make more sense than for the shallow loamy soils. And in particular, one of the concerns we've expressed is with compaction. And I think it's more likely that you might run into issues with that in the clay soils. As the staff pointed out, in the area of the road that we've talked about, there's a significant chunk of clay soils. And in part of what I'd say here is that this is, I think, a good example of what I think could have come out of a real consultation. Because again, the Voits were put in a position where these reference sites had been selected and they were simply given the opportunity to respond and comment on that. But I think our request would be that, you know, the mine consider adding in a reference site for clay soils and hopefully working with the Voits to try and identify that site. And I think, you know, again, I don't know if staff is prepared to address this. I reckon, and this is another problem with having these conversations here, because we still have technical review letters outstanding. And it's difficult to have a conversation about something that the staff has issued a technical review letter on, and the mine is currently responding to that, is my understanding. So I understand we're talking about something that's in progress, and that's another problem with, you know, just how these rigs are set up, the timing of this. It is what it is. But our question would be, you know, is this something that the commission can address and can require as part of this process? Because there have been orders on the reference sites. I think that candidly, we've established that this was the understanding originally, that we were going to be able to consult on the locations of these reference sites. You know, we've looked at everything that was referenced by the staff in that commentary on it with respect to the clay soils and the shallow loamy soils, and agree 100% and think it would be extremely beneficial for everyone involved to have a reference site for clay soils. So ultimately our question is, can that be something that's included here? Is language in the order indicating that the mine will work with the Voits on identifying and locating a reference area for the clay soils?
Mr. Martins, you want to respond or have somebody else respond?
I'll let Jonathan here handle the first part of that. Then I might take us kind of down the same vein a little bit.
As far as, you know, working in the order, having Casey consulted for a clay ecological site, I feel like that is already a requirement from the 2015 order and the language in the permit itself, where it says Casey would be consulted on the selection of the reference areas and the management practices.
So can, and again, you don't have to answer, of course, Mr. Brodner, have your client answer, but has a clay site been proposed by your client to the mine at this time?
I don't believe so.
We never knew we had that option.
In really what what he's saying is, there was the six sites, I think, that were referenced. They dropped the shallow loamy. None of those sites included a clay soil site. And in the last revision, the concerns we raised were that we didn't think, all due respect, we didn't think what the mine was doing was consultation, because they had already chosen these six sites. And they were saying, no, we're still consulting. The Voits can tell us what they'd like to tell us about these six sites. But that's sort of our point, is that didn't include the ability to say, but what about a clay soil reference site? And I think what the current revision says would foreclose that, because what the current revision says is essentially they're dropping shallow loamy and they're going with the other five sites, none of which are a clay soil reference site. And so that's our request, is to at least leave it open that they still need to consult with the Voits on that clay soil site, because Otherwise, what the permit's going to say is they chose these five sites, they consulted, now it's over.
I'm going to have Mr. Walsh step up. I have a couple questions for him that might provide some insight here. In this revision, there are no reference sites approved yet, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and we may require more sites depending on our analysis?
Yes, the April 30th technical review letter recommended that a clay site be established at the Coyote Creek Mine. And as Jonathan said, with consulting Mr. Voigt.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Go
ahead. Yeah, and we've looked at this as well since the letter came out, and we're not opposed to including a clay reference site.
And Mr. Mann, I'll direct it to you, and you can just decide whether or not your client can answer, but have you identified potential sites at this point, or is it still early enough where we can have some input?
You can, Mr. Aircroft can answer.
Yeah,
that.
Okay. Yeah. Only so far as looking at the map where the eco sites are mapped out, there's clay sites down by those southern two reference areas that we selected that we proposed for. I can't remember what the eco sites are, but there's a few areas down there that have larger blocks of clay sites down there where it probably makes sense. We haven't gone out and looked for anything, so I don't know as far as if Casey wants us to mark those boundaries and he has an expert come out and pick the area, we're open to it.
And what I'd say is, you know, even if you can just give us some coordinates or show us on an ArcGIS shapefile or something, you know, I think he could have some of his experts go out and sort of survey and, you know, maybe we can at least narrow in on general areas as
right.
a starting point.
It could put a lath out there and say this is where they want it, as long as it falls within the eco site that's clay in the permit.
Right.
We're not opposed to it. And it's got to be in an area that we're not disturbing, because it's got to stay, you know, undisturbed through the process.
Has the commission staff identified potential sites? Point.
No, other than the detailed soil survey identifies the clay sites. And like Jeremy said, there are some clay sites down by the Loamy site, Section 12, on state land that Mr. Voigt has historically leased. There's also a few up in Section 19. I'm not sure if those are large enough for, you know, the other part of this is the ecological condition of the sites, what's growing on them. And that's
right.
That's important. So that's part of our review, is to make sure that those sites represent what they're supposed to represent. So,
And I think that was, with respect to the shallow loamy site, that was one of the concerns pointed out by Mr. Voigt's experts, was with respect to some of the vegetation. So I have sort of a procedural technical question, but does this, I mean, based on procedural process and the staff recommendation, does this site need to be selected before the revision is finalized or approved, or is it the intent to include within the authorizing order language simply requiring the site to be chosen at some point after?
I would say it kind of depends on, you know, the analysis the mine does and we do as well, as far as the clay site. If it would be something we would need to include in the permit now, or, you know, we need to work on it and add it to the permit during the next revision.
Okay.
Just to follow up on that, I mean, it's important that we, the timing wise here, as you realize, Kelly Krabanoff, a consultant, he actually collected data from proposed reference areas that was available to everybody and included in the permit. So we would want to do that here, and giving the timing, I would think that we would simply include language in this revision saying, you know, the mine would address that item number from the April 30th letter, stating that they will do this over the next course of a year. I think it's probably unreasonable to expect everything to be done and hold up this revision when you've got to wait until the summer really to collect the data. So at this stage, I can't see finalizing a clay reference area under pending revision 14.
I'm going to ask this just so I don't have to go digging to find the answer, but understand if others don't know either. But, you know, is there anything within the current reclamation schedule that would require the use of a reference site on clay soils in the next 6-9 months? Okay.
You're talking 6-9 years.
Okay. Well, so I think I'll just reiterate. I mean, that's very helpful. That I think addresses our concern, and in our request specifically would just be that the language in the permit revision explicitly recognizes that the Voits are going to be consulted on the selection, and not, you know, there was a dispute at one point about do they need to be consulted on just the management practices for the reference site, or do they also need to be consulted on the location of the reference site? Our reading, obviously, from what we've submitted is that they need to be consulted with respect to the location. And that's what we'd ask, is just that, you know, the language in the revision leaves that open and allows us to be consulted on selecting specifically a clay soil reference site.
So, Mr. Brown, the focus is on clay. Is shallow loamy still an issue in there, or have we changed stance since the initial request for hearing?
So I'm just going to be honest here. I don't know what the regs say with respect to whether each different soil type needs a reference area. In what I would say is that we were focused on shallow loamy because that was one of the ones that had been proposed. But having seen the staff's comments and done a little bit of research and talking to some professionals, we understand that to the extent there's going to be any concerns about reclamation, it's much more likely to be on clay soils than shallow loamy. So I would say it's more an issue of priority. We would absolutely prioritize having a reference site we agree on for the clay soils. I don't think it hurts anything to have one on the shallow loamy soils as well, if that's a significant chunk of soil types that's going to be reclaimed. And I think it can only help to have those, because having a reference site doesn't dictate to the mine how they do reclamation or what practices they use. It just gives us a gauge. And so in my mind, any soil type that is a significant part of the soil survey, it would be good to have a reference site. And so we'd still request one with shallow loamy, but we're much more focused on the clay soils because I think that is a higher concern with respect to reclamation.
Okay. And I guess, Your Honor, I know we're kind of bouncing more of a discussion format here. I do have questions for staff in reference to shallow loamy sites. Did you prefer I hold off until kind of, or do you want to, as we attack each issue, just every side present their?
Why don't we just try to stay on one issue and finish that if
okay.
we can?
all right. Guy, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. With regard to a shallow loamy reference site and the commission's analysis, do you believe that's needed?
No, I don't think we need a shallow loamy ecological site to demonstrate bond release at the Cuyahoga Creek Mine.
Explain your reasoning behind that.
I think it'd be good to bring up exhibit.
Yep, we're going to go ahead and grab those for you.
The Excel table. Warren, I think it's 5-4.
I just get them off.
these. Mr. Broughton.
All right, Mr. Welch, I'm showing you what we've marked as PSC Exhibit 4. Can you please explain to me what that is?
Yeah, what this is, it's an Excel table with information taken from Section 2.4.7.2, the Equisite Acres by Owner table in the permit. But it simply isolates and focuses on Voight-owned property and Voight-owned property or state land that has been managed or used along with Voight property for the past.
Okay. And is this table representative of that land as it exists today, or does it fairly represent the land as it exists today?
It's the pre-mine. It's based upon the pre-mine detailed soil survey and then the corresponding ecological sites for each of those soil mapping units. So what it shows here is that the five proposed ecological sites, which is clay pan, loamy, sandy, and thin clay pan, comprise 67 I can't read that 67.6% of the Voight property.
Yep, 67.6.
And they're highlighted, the proposed five sites are highlighted in yellow. At the bottom, you look at the percent of each of those ecological sites on all of the Voight and state land. In terms of relative percentage, and those percentages are at the bottom of the table, highlighted in green. What's shaded in gray are the dominant ecological sites on each tract, the three top dominant sites. And this is where you'll see some tracts, you have a clay site is either the dominant or one of the dominant sites. In no case is the shallow loamy site one of the top three ecological sites within each of these tracts. Therefore, and it comprises 7% of the total. So I guess that's what this table shows. The other thing that this table does not include the east half of Section 6, because there's no mining disturbance planned on that Voight property, nor does it include the south half of the northeast quarter of Section 24, because there's no mining plan in that area. So this is the Voight state land, excluding tracts where no mining disturbance is planned. And I think it would be good to have a spatial view of this, which is exhibit number 5.
Yeah. And I am showing now what has been marked as PSC Exhibit 5. Could you explain what this document is, Mr. Welch?
Yeah. Exhibit 5 shows the clay pan, loamy, sandy, and thin clay pan ecological sites on all of the native grassland in the main block of the permit area east of County Road 13, which is essentially Voight land. You'll see in Section 7 that's hatched, that's not Voight-owned property. And then the east half of Section 30 is not Voight property. So I checked that out. But the five proposed reference areas comprise 67% of the total native grassland. And that just gives you, this just gives you a spatial view of that.
Sure. Let me ask this, is this an accurate represent, or does it fairly represent the permit area as it exists today?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, all of it.
Okay. And on this map, there's portions marked in blue. What does the blue represent?
The blue represents the areas that the five proposed revision 14 proposed native grassland reference areas, the acreage represented by those five sites pre-mine. You know, and you look at this, you see some holes in there, like in section 25, that was cropland. So you don't have an ecological site on cropland.
Why is that?
Because it's not native grassland.
That's what happens when you have lawyers who know nothing about this, ask questions. and I'm going to present one more exhibit just because I'm not a numbers guy. I am a visual learner indeed. So Mr. Welch, I'm giving you what's PSC, labeled as PSC exhibit number 6. Can you explain what this is?
This simply shows the shallow loamy ecological site in blue across all of the Voigt state land east of County Road 13, and that's the area. That's the 7% shallow loamy site is highlighted in blue. So that just gives you a spatial idea of the amount and where it lays. And if you look close at this table, you'll find that there's not a lot of good choices for ecological sites in areas that aren't being disturbed.
Okay, here I'm gonna. And last one with regard to this topic, Mr. Welch, I'm now handing you what's been labeled as PSC exhibit number 7. To the last point you made, could you please explain what this is?
Right. So this is simply taking the pre-mine native grassland ecological sites and blocking out areas that are going to be affected by mining where you wouldn't have, you couldn't have a reference area in an area that's going to be mined, right? So the shaded gray area is areas affected by mining or to be affected by mining. Also on this table, I hatched out the non-Voigt owned land because then he wouldn't have management of a reference area if he didn't own it. So it really restricts, your available shallow loamy sites are very restricted. What that shows.
Turning your attention back to what's marked as PSC Exhibit 5, Mr. Welch, does this, and you stated this is the blue is representative of the five areas already chosen. Would you say that sufficiently represents the permit area with regard to ecological sites?
It does, to fulfill the requirements of the permit, yes.
And Your Honor, we are going to ask these exhibits be admitted to the record.
Yeah, sure. I don't know if that's a formal thing.
That's true. I know. But sorry, I'm stuck in prosecutor mode, I guess. and I'll give Mr. Broughton a chance to ask any questions he'd like.
Sure.
If you don't mind, we have Mark Anderson with, who's a rangeland specialist, used to be with NRCS, and he might have a couple questions as well, just sort of to gather information. I want to just clarify, when I'm looking at the technical review letter from April 30th, are we still talking about the idea that we would also be looking at an ecosite or reference area for clay soils?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And that really, that item, I figured if we're going to have an informal conference, we're going to bring up this table, you're going to see that a clay is a dominant site on some tracks. And although not required by our regulations for the purposes of bond release, they just as well get it in, do it now. So I took it one step further and I didn't write this. I'm going to tell you, probably say too much here. I'm not saying.
I mean, was the clay site noted as a deficiency, Mr. Welch?
I did, and I noticed it on the first technical review. but I didn't write it because adding this new clay site really is beyond the scope of revision 14. And I thought it would be more appropriately to address this item during a midterm review or a pre-renewal of the permit. Bringing this issue in with revision 14 brings a new issue into the issue, which is why I didn't write the deficiency on our first technical review letter.
I won't cross-examine Mr. Welsh on this, but I will just note for the record, however, that the way I read the language as proposed in the current revision, this would have been foreclosed. And so I'll just reiterate our concern that the language in the revision reflect that this is, you know, something that is under discussion, and that, and I understand that mine doesn't object, but that, you know, we haven't settled on just those five reference areas without the six on shallow loamy and that's it, but rather that there's still ongoing discussions and selection related to the clay soils reference site. Because again, you know, our concern is that if you read the language proposed in this revision, I'm not arguing with you, Mr. Welsh, but our concern is that I think, you know, even if the PSC is asking this, that could be read as foreclosed by the language in the permit revision right now. So we would want that to reflect somehow that this is ongoing. Mr. Anderson, did you have anything you wanted to ask just to kind of get clarification?
Well, Mr.
Oh, you want to ask him.
Maybe, do you want to take a short break?
Sure,
and
that'd
you
be
can
great.
Consult with him?
Perfect.
Okay, why don't we take like a 10-minute break? All right, I think we have everybody back. Mr. Broughton, did you have any other questions on the reference areas?
I don't think I have any other questions. I would just say, you know, I certainly understand what Mr. Welsh covered and don't necessarily take issue with anything he said, but we haven't had enough time to fully analyze our comfort level with dropping the shallow loamy as a request. So I can't say that, you know, we're withdrawing the request to have a reference site for the shallow loamy soils. Certainly understand what Mr. Welsh was saying, but there's still also a somewhat significant part. And I also understand they're fractionated. But other than that, you know, we appreciate it. And I think we look forward to working on the reference site for the clay soils.
I do have one just a follow up on the clay soils, just because it was a point brought up by Mr. Brown. And I think it maybe it'll a little bit of ease, maybe not complete ease, but just I'll ask Mr. Welch, you know, if I know it's kind of the mine is currently conducting their review or analysis based on the technical review you sent, but if a clay eco site is indeed determined to be needed after that analysis, how would the revision 14 be updated?
The revision 14 would include language stating that a clay site would be established if needed. And that would be in the permit.
Thank you.
Mr. Mann, anything else you wanted to address on this topic?
Yeah, because the like we'd indicated before, the mine, you know, is agreeable to what Mr. Wells just said with respect to the, you know, the clay site, as Jeremy had indicated. We just feel the shallow loamy, for the reasons that kind of laid out in the table and the maps, it's really unnecessary, I think, and of little value, and kind of as explained by the staff. So I think it really is unnecessary. I don't know if Jeremy wants to elaborate or is it?
No, I think you covered it. I agree. I mean, looking at the map, the amount of land's covered, and if we do add the clay site, which we agree we will do, is going to fill in, you know, some significant remaining gaps on that very little bit of yellow that's showing on the map there itself. So I feel it'd be sufficient to drop the shallow loamy and include a clay site in the next revision, work through that this summer and work with Mr. Voight to establish that site.
I guess I'll go against my normal. I usually look at percentages for almost everything, but in this instance, isn't 256 acres something that should be monitored?
Who are you requesting to address that, or is that just your comment?
Just a comment.
Okay.
It's a large parcel of land. It's more than just 7%.
All right. Noted. Thank you, Mr. Voight.
So, Your Honor, if I may, and I don't want to cut anyone off, but if I may, I'll move on to another topic now. And I'm going to switch the order of what I mentioned, but this is sort of more of just a quick comment for legal counsel than it is something I think the staff or anyone else needs to get into. But in the current revision, it indicates that there's an easement to replace a road, and that road has been the subject of discussions over the course of numerous revisions and renewals. And it goes all the way back to the original permit proceeding, where there was actually a dispute that related to county authorizations, I think went all the way up to the Supreme Court. Ultimately, what happened here was, in order to put the road back, and I'm going to say this is our position, feel free to disagree, but in order to put the road back, the county needed to obtain an easement, or someone needed to obtain an easement in order to put it there. The county, the Voight signed an easement with the county, but the county hasn't paid for that easement. Our position is that that's not a valid easement because there hasn't been any consideration paid. The concern that I think is relevant here is simply to the extent the PSC permit and the revision language is indicating to the mine, go put a road in this location on the Voight property. We may or may not need to do something about this easement at some point. And what I would advise my clients is, if someone puts a road on your property, generally speaking, without a valid easement, the claim is one for inverse condemnation. And so the concern here is that the PSC becomes a necessary party by indicating in the permit to the mine, this is the location that you should put that road. And all we would ask is that either in the findings or the revision itself, there's some indication that there's a dispute as to this easement's validity, and the commission is not taking a position on the property rights issue. And I think that's legally the case, that the commission, it's never the commission's intent to get into the property rights issues between the parties. But I think it's better if that's clarified somehow. And so we're not asking the commission by any means to rule on this dispute, but simply to recognize or acknowledge in the findings that the Voights dispute the validity of the easement. And that just essentially ensures that the PSC hasn't impliedly authorized anything that the Voights would take issue with on the property down the road. So I don't even need necessarily a response on that. That was sort of a concern we had. And I understand, Mr. Mann, you were saying in the beginning you didn't fully understand how it relates. And so I wanted to just clarify that the concern is simply having something in the findings or the order that acknowledges that as to this easement, the Voights dispute the validity of it at this point in time. And I understand the mine might take the position that's got nothing to do with us, but to the extent the PSC issues an order or findings, and if those findings say there's a valid easement for this road, we dispute that. And so I think the easiest way to address the concern is simply for the commission to note that the Voights dispute the validity of the easement, and there's probably not much more needed than that, but just that recognition indicates that the commission isn't ruling on that issue, essentially.
All right. Before we move on, I'll just ask the other parties if they want to address that, anything regarding the easement. Mr. Mann?
I mean, I don't really have any comments other than, I don't understand. So there was an easement, it was signed. I mean, so apparently there was agreement with respect to the location. I don't really know, with respect to consideration, lack of consideration, payment. I don't know what the issue is. I don't really understand it or why, with Mr. Voigt being on the commission, why they haven't been paid, for the easement. The mine has said all along that, they just need to know, where this needs to go and, it needs to be resolved. I don't know that anything needs to be changed in the revision language. I mean, to the extent that there's a dispute about consideration of the signed easement that was included, with the application, that's an issue between the Voigts and the mine. But I don't really know that there's anything for us to do or the PSC to do with respect to this revision.
All right. And Mr. Martins, anything you want to, put on the record regarding this issue?
The landowners, do you still want the road? Sorry.
Yes, we just would like compensation for that property.
Understood. And to the mine, if the road wasn't built, would that delay reclamation? I'm kind of getting both sides here, that's all.
Yeah, we've been waiting to build this road for a year plus, at least at this point. And in order to reclaim some drainages to the north, we need to be able to build this road and remove the old temporary access road that was put out there. So
I guess I'll just say, obviously as a commission, I have no trouble saying that we have really no authority over the easement. I mean, to your point of language that would be in there, I mean, that would kind of something that'd be already written in there. So we can, we'll discuss based on what you just said, Mr. Braun, if I have any questions or maybe I'll reach out and just say, hey, does this work and go from there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And just back to your point, we're not disputing the location where that easement was agreed to be or the idea that the road be put back in. Our concern is just the PSC order saying, well, here's a valid easement from the county when we're saying legally we dispute that. And I think we just want some clarification in there because I think, Mr. Mann, someone buys a house and they don't pay for it, you don't get the house. So I think, I was just going to say, I think we can move on to the next issue, but I didn't want to cut you off.
Yeah, no, I have nothing further.
All right, then let's move on.
So I want to talk about some compaction testing a little bit, but before we get there, one of the reasons, I guess the reason we're here and the reason the Voigts have always been involved in these proceedings is that they have concerns with reclamation. One thing I'll say up front is that we do recognize that there are times where the commission is essentially required to do what the regulations say. And so when we're expressing concerns about reclamation, it's not always intended to be, an expression that we think the commission is not doing something it should or doing something it shouldn't, more so just expressing the concern. But I wanted to recognize up front that we also realize commission is working within a set of parameters and a set of regulations that require it to do certain things at certain times in certain ways. But at the same time, I'll soapbox for a second here, but I work with farmers and ranchers. I work with landowners. I think folks who work with landowners recognize that no one knows the land better than the landowners. And so, our intent here is not to necessarily try to direct the commission to do anything exactly. But at the same time, the Voights know this land better than anyone, literally. And so I wanted to take a little bit of time and give Mr. Voight some time to just express what some of these concerns are in regard to reclamation and successful reclamation. And some of this might go to, you know, questions of do regulations need to be amended? But I think it's important to hear what these concerns are, because they're really what's driving a lot of our engagement in this process. And as you can see, I mean, we're talking about soil types, things of that nature. And that's because that's really the crux of the concerns. So I think, Mr. Voight, I'll hand it over to you, and you can just kind of walk through your list and walk through some of the concerns related to reclamation.
Okay, so I have two concerns, and one is with the compaction issues and the other is with the reclamation issues. I think they go hand in hand. I think one causes problems for the other, and one can alleviate and improve the other. So I'll kind of go back and forth and addressing both of them at the same time, if that's all right with you guys. I think, you know, perspectively from me looking basically from the outside at it, the mine is focusing on compliance instead of on reclamation. I mean, ultimately what I want is my land to be reclaimed as good as possible. Mine is complying with the regulations. The PSC regulations are 50 years old, maybe a little older. And farming in itself has evolved immensely. If you go back 40 years, we're looking at about a 260% increase in productivity. Mercer County, for example, wheat in 2025 averaged 60 bushels. Back in 1982, when I worked at the elevator in Beulah, average wheat production was about 23 bushels per acre. That in itself creates a problem, because the mine wants to compare pre-mining yields to reclamation productivity, and we're not allowing for any improvements in farming through that process. What we say in agriculture is you cannot manage what you do not measure. And that's kind of one of my concerns with the monitoring of reclamation. We actually have no production records. So how are we monitoring something that we are not measuring? Production agriculture is completely different from a cost plus mining plan. You know, we have to do everything the best we can to be as productive as we can, or we're not going to succeed. We're not going to be sustainable. As far as sustainability, I look for the future and I see better reclamation as being a way to improve the sustainability of coal mining. As far as going into the soil types, the clay soils, my understanding, talking to experts, doing some research, clay soils are incredibly fine, become sticky when wet, and compact like a brick when dried. Compaction is difficult to undo and can be persistent for centuries. Adding sand to it can actually make it worse. Deep ripping is often localized and doesn't fully address the broader challenges. Needs certain moisture at certain times to contain. You can make it, and actually ripping can make it worse. Yeah, I won't go into that detail, but possible solutions that I look for is adding like gypsum or organic matter, doing ripping prior to respreading, so that we alleviate the problem before it becomes a problem. Yeah, and maybe we can kind of do a combination of adding organic matter and ripping at the same time, so we incorporate that into the spoil material to create infiltration and potential for root growth. Some of that can be dealt with using crops like radishes and sunflowers to help break up the compaction, or like a sweet clover to add biological material to our soils. I had a discussion with Guy on some different types of clover. I want to say it was a white clover. Does that sound right, Guy? Anyway, those were some of the research that I'd found years ago, and that just came to mind when I brought up sweet clover. I guess NDSU's recommendations are both minimizing disturbance and minimizing compaction. Well, in coal mining, we're maximizing disturbance and we're maximizing compaction. I have some soil tests here from 22 months ago when we did testing at the mine, and they are still like bricks. You can't take this concrete and just think it's gonna break up on its own. We have to do something prior to respreading subsoil on it. Once we get respreading done, the NRCS shows, research shows that raising hay and harvesting the entire crop does not build soil health. So soil health is what helps the soils break down the fertilizers to use the nutrients to grow the plants. So we have to build soil health in order to build productivity. There's a 318 reclamation study that shows yields are three times lower on reclaimed land. So now we're 10 years into this mining process. Some of this land is finally going to get put back into use. The costs of me operating it, whether it's grazing or farming, are actually going to be higher than what it was prior to mining, but yet the productivity is going to be less. To me, that creates a loss of production for many years to come. Who's to bear that burden? The landowner? That doesn't seem right to me. This year I do have derm seeded on 94 acres of reclaimed land. At least four, if not five, different respread tracks. So we should be able to get some insight on different restrips. I also sacrificed another 46 acres of my alfalfa and seeded that to derm so we could have a reference point. And I think going forward in the future, not only the mine, but the PSC has the opportunity to use my land for reclamation research so we can figure out how to make reclamation better. I think that's about enough.
And I'll just sort of reiterate a point that Mr. Voigt just made, which is, you know, opportunities. We've heard often from the commission, and I understand when commission staff says, for example, this is what's required under the regs, and that's the mission, or not the mission, but the job of the commission and its staff is to administer those regulations. But there's room to do other things, I think, is our point. And like I was saying earlier, this is a unique situation where you have an operator that's almost coextensive with the mine who's willing to open land up to do experiments, to try things, try new things. And that's an open offer. And it's an open offer to the mine as well. And so, you know, one very specific ask that we would make on this note is, it's perhaps not required by any specific regulation, but back in 2015, the Voits expressed concerns about compaction. The mine has acknowledged, as any mine in North Dakota would, that there are times when there have been issues with compaction. In 2015, there was an order issued requiring the mine to do some testing on compaction. During a recent revision, we asked specifically about the results of the mine's tests on compaction. And what happened at that time is the commission said that they hadn't received those results of compaction testing from the mine. And the mine said that they didn't have them in a format that they could be exported and provided to the commission. But during the prior hearing on that issue, when we were talking about it, the mine acknowledged that it had figured out how to export those compaction results. Our understanding is that the commission doesn't have those results. And so our understanding is that the mine has done compaction testing, somewhat extensive, that data is available. And
all right, I think we're good to go.
Jeff Clayton.
Okay, I'll try and go quickly over what I was saying, but back in 2015, some of the concerns that were expressed by the Voits in the initial permit hearing related to compaction, and compaction is just an issue at any coal mine in North Dakota. That's one of the issues that is always being addressed during the reclamation process. And during the last revision, you know, we had asked about compaction testing, and we understood that the mine had not provided the commission with certain compaction testing because it didn't have it in a format it could export. During the process of that, during one of the hearings, the mine acknowledged that it had figured out how to export that data and would be able to provide that. But that was essentially the end of it in terms of us, because we were at a hearing and that's sort of where it ended, and there wasn't any opportunity for us to follow up from there. And so we don't know if such data has been provided, but our request would be, you know, that any compaction testing and the data related to that be provided to the commission, and we would request copies of those kinds of results too. And whatever it shows, I mean, maybe it alleviates concerns, maybe it just helps us start to analyze where there are issues. And one of the conversations we're having today is, you know, a reference site for clay soils. And I think with clay pan, in particular with clay soils, one of the big issues, as Mr. Voit just expressed, is the compaction. And so, you know, sort of in general, I'm using this as an example. It is a specific request we're making, but it's also an example of, you know, ways we think we can start working together, having more transparency. Certainly we understand the commission is only obligated to do certain things, but there's also nothing that stops the commission from requesting this kind of data and getting the data. And what we don't understand on our end is why everybody wouldn't want more data. And so, you know, I'll reiterate Mr. Voit's offer, which is, we want to be part of the process. We want to help. It's their land and they want to see reclamation be successful. And to the extent we can help with that, we're here ready and willing. But we also request to, you know, be more of an active player in that process, and having access to more of the data that other parties here have is very helpful in that regard. So I think, just to close that, I would put that question out, and certainly understand the attorneys aren't prepared to respond right now, but our specific request would be, is there compaction data? Has it been provided to the commission, and can we have that?
All right, Mr. Mann, do you want to address that? Or Mr. Martin, I'm sorry.
I guess I'll just phrase it to the staff. Do we require that data be submitted to us?
No, that there is no requirement for Coyote Creek to submit the compaction testing data to us, and we do not have that information. You know, we have reviewed it with the mine, but we do not physically have that data.
And what do you mean when you say we review it? Like, how does that work?
Either we go to their office, sit with the mine, go over the results, or we'll, you know, go to a team meeting to review all the reports.
And when you review it, we're holding it to, I guess, just, if you already know probably, but just to the standard that we have listed in our regulations currently?
Well, we really don't have a specific performance standard for compaction. But the one thing we look at is, you know, what is the penetrometer? You know, what are the values for the reclaimed land compared to the undisturbed land? Making sure you don't have any major differences.
Can I ask a quick follow-up on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The testing you're referring to, is that of topsoil and subsoil? Are you also testing the soil for compaction at any point, or are they?
Off the top of my head, I believe the penetrometer can only go 24 inches, but I'm not certain on that.
And what I would say is that PSC can request that, not obligated to. The mine can provide that, currently not obligated to. But the whole reason for doing it via Teams meeting or only at the mine is to prevent the PSC from getting it in order to prevent us from getting it. And that's not helpful, because if there isn't a problem, you can alleviate our concerns. If there is a problem, we can help try to find solutions. And that's what Mr. Voigt's talking about. He's actively researching this to try and find solutions. And it's because he wants there to be solutions, because it's his land and he wants to help get it reclaimed. And so that's our request, is to let us help you in this process. With that, Your Honor, we don't have anything else to present today. We appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Mr. Mann, did you want to address that or anything else?
I don't have anything else to address.
Mr. Martins?
This should be quick, but with your permission, I'd just ask a question directly to your client. And it really just comes down to, you've already mentioned, this is about the substance of what's currently happening. You mentioned, you know, we obviously adhere to our current regulatory scheme. You've mentioned a couple ideas on thoughts on where that could differ, but I just want to make sure I'm understanding and give you a chance. You know, if you have any specific, we'd have to explore the feasibility of it, obviously, and go through a whole making process. But is there any areas that you think there's potential for updating current rules as they exist, and do you have thoughts on what those would be?
Well, I'm obviously not an expert on the PSC rules, but if they are, you know, 50 years old, I think we could all agree there's room for improvement. I would defer to soil scientists, experts, to steer us in the right direction. But on my end, I'm willing to look at the productivity and analyze that to see, you know, what appears to be working and what is not working. And then maybe that can help guide some of the rewriting of the ordinances.
One thing I can add to that, just sort of as a point of reference, is that we also, back in 2015, when the original permit was under review, we had a number of experts presenting at that time, and there was a pretty significant focus in that testimony on soil health, which in some ways is conceptually new in soil science, or at least was 10 years ago. And I think that was another sort of thrust of a lot of that original testimony, was a lot of the regulations focus very much on soil chemistry, soil physics, but not on soil health, which is a newer concept in soil science, one to which I think most soil scientists ascribe these days. As to how specifically to update regs to address that, you know, I think, you know, the voids could certainly pay me and soil scientists to come up with that, but I think we would also, you know, put that back on commission staff to some extent, but it's a conversation we're willing to have and probably put some resources into that discussion if there's an openness to it. But what I would say very genuinely is I think that you folks on the commission staff know better than anyone how regs could be updated.
Appreciate that. Just to, you know, want to give your client a chance to offer any input.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
Nothing further.
All right. Anything else before we conclude?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Will anybody be filing proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, proposed order? I assume
yeah,
can't see.
I imagine we will, yes.
Okay. Can we set a deadline for getting those submitted?
I guess we'll propose June 5th as a deadline and let parties comment on that. So there is a, has to be for the June 11th commission meeting.
Okay. Any objection or other
no
thoughts
on
that? I think just clarification, are we suggesting everyone's filing proposed or just that the commission is?
I think any party that wants to submit them.
Would it be possible rather than that? Because, you know, we have a few very specific issues related to the revision, and I always find it cumbersome for us to do proposed findings because the findings need to cover the permit application revision itself, much of which has nothing to do with us. What I would request is if we could have maybe a week to just review the commission's proposed findings and submit comments on it. And they can accept or reject it. I'm not asking for like a briefing period or anything, but I think that would be more productive.
Mr. Martins? I don't think that's how it's been handled in the past, so that would be probably a different procedure.
All submit at the same time.
Yeah.
Can I offer an alternative then? Could we just agree that we're going to submit proposed findings only with respect to the issues we've raised here?
I think that's fair.
That sounds reasonable, Your Honor.
Yeah. Okay, then June 5th will be the deadline for those submissions. And I will note that it's 11:07 a.m. and that'll conclude our conference for RC-25-27. 270.